listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted.
I doubt the future. I doubt the future.
From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Friday. And we got a special show for you today. It's 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. It's all brand new what we're doing. Pickpalooza, yes, but even better, even more. We are going to break down every NFL game and the biggest college games. Best Bet from Fez is literally almost going to start the show, ending with my best bet. Brad Powers with his best bets. Those are the pros who know. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You cannot have pros without Joes. He's in LA. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on Straight Out of Vegas with week 5 of the NFL, which kicked off last night in Seattle. And it was the Seahawks with a 30-29 win over the LA Rams in a big matchup in the NFC West.
Yeah, exciting. Fez, closing line on the game was?
Seattle minus 1 to 1.5.
Okay, so what you're saying is someone who said, you know, I like to bet. And there's a guy at the bar, and he goes, well, we take bets. Here's a website. If you have one out, odds were what, 50%?
50-50.
That you would have either, if you had Seattle, pushed
or lost.
And the other way, if you would have had the Rams, could have pushed or lost.
Pushed or won.
Yeah, that's a good point. Plus 1.5 wins. And the irony of all that is a loss avoided is more valuable than a win gained, because when you lose, you lose 110 for every 100. And when you win, you only win the 100, right? There's dastardly bookies. But this is one of the times you think, when I preach about line value, multiple outs, that somehow I'm like some scold, you know, some teacher saying, make sure you learn your proper grammar. Well, maybe, but this is even more important than proper grammar. This is about your money. And yeah, I think I can live by that. It's more important. You can buy grammar. If you don't have at least 3 outs, you are not doing the easiest thing you can do to help yourself do better. Doesn't mean you can't have fun without 3 outs. You can have fun if losing is fun. How much effort does it take to get that second and third out? For the payoff, very little. Fez, we won't belabor the point, but what would even be close to saying for the modest amount of effort? Now, a guy like Fez, getting outs is a full-time job. And you partner with people for this kind of thing, because a lot of these places don't want to take your bets. You know, when you come by and you're trying to bet with the pompadour and everything, I think in Vegas, what, half the books either don't let you bet or you're restricted.
Yes.
No. You think we're joking?
I think it's great.
Get out of here, Jonas.
I think it's great.
You come around with me.
Do you want to book his action? That'd be hilarious. You put Jonas in the, like, you'd put, he'd be getting the stuff from the newspaper, the lines. You'd put him in the poorhouse in about 6 weeks.
I can get Jonas kicked out of a casino within 20 minutes.
Oh, you would get a little blackjack crap. All right, you can also count cards. We understand that.
It's a sports bet.
Wow. But what I'm saying is true. I mean, let's be clear. We're not joking. About half the books in Las Vegas, you're restricted. Either completely can't play or can only, like, at one book you can play once a day.
One trip to the window.
Like at a certain time.
Can play every game on the board. One trip to the window per day.
It's almost like this very heavy set guy, the buffet doesn't want any piece of, and you can only come like at 8:30 when they shut down at 9, because they figure we're either going to throw this food out or we'll let this guy eat it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that,
that's a good analogy.
That is a good compliment, though, for you, Fez. That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. Nothing is better to help you win than getting up to those three outs. Three after three, it's nice to have. You got 29. Is that the count now? 29?
It's 30 now.
30. You added a book. Okay. I wonder if that disguise is going to last, but would you agree going from one out to three outs the best you can do? That, like, there's nothing for the amount of effort, the limited amount of effort, that's going to help you win more.
Agreed.
So that's an important lesson. Another lesson, NFL wins and losses are often coin flips. And Bill Simmons had an interesting way to approach this. He said, I'm going to look at the game and say, could this have gone either way or not? And if it could go either way, give each team a half a win. Doesn't matter if they win or lose. And if you clearly lose, you get zero. You clearly win, you get one. Those standings, that rudimentary, simple way to approach it would give you better standings than the actual standings. Agreed?
Yes, I agree.
And do you also agree with what seems obvious is this game could have went either way?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, 58 minutes into the game, Seattle had the ball at midfield, won first down, won the game. Seattle had an 80% chance to win at that point. Then Seattle punts. The Rams drive down the field. The Rams are lining up for a game-winning, what would have been, 43-yard field goal. And the Rams had an 80% chance to win at that point. Well, the final score, someone had to win, and it was Seattle.
Someone had to win, Brad. What was your take?
Not someone had to win. No, I mean, that shows you that it was a coin flip game, Fez, that someone had to win.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that phrase, though cliched, someone had to win, does say something pretty important. Someone did win, and the takeaway is going to be how much better Seattle seems than they were perceived to be starting the season, right? Seattle, isn't that the main? I mean, Jonas, you keep your finger on the pulse of this. Wouldn't you say the main narrative is wow, Pete Carroll's got these guys playing?
Yeah, and also that Russell Wilson's playing at the most elite level he's ever played the position at, ever.
Yeah, and I think that's true. I mean, the metrics back that up. How different would it be if that field goal had been made? I mean, first off, if you're named Greg the Leg, you're supposed to make that kick.
Yeah.
All right? But what would the narrative be, Jonas, you think? A master of the narratives on talk radio, if he makes that kick.
Oh, man, the L.A. Rams on a short week, all the noise, all the Todd Gurley drama, they're still the team to beat in the NFC West.
I agree 100%. So, guys, if you want to even be a smart fan, don't let that noise bother you. I will say this. There is a tendency, and I think I fall prey to it, and I'm not sure it's fall prey. I think it might be some truth. There are certain players that after years and years, that the clutch moniker, the idea that Jordan played differently at the end of that Jazz game six, I think it's true. I just think week to week, it can't be one week this guy's clutch and the next week he's not. I want to see multiple years. But you show me a Joe Montana, certain people, multiple year. I mean, obviously Brady and Belichick, though, you could make the case they've lost them, you know, the two Super Bowls. They lost, or all three Super Bowls. The Eagles, they lost the game, right? Both those Giants Super Bowls, it could have went either way, right?
Yep.
So you could say, oh, and imagine just how different the narrative would be on Brady and Belichick if Seattle wouldn't have thrown that interception. I mean, because at that point, that was their first Super Bowl, like, since, what was it? It was since the undefeated, even before the undefeated season, right? They would have gone.
Yeah, 2004 prior.
Yeah, think about that a second. I mean, wow, talk about one play changing courses of lives.
Yeah, Seattle, that would have made back-to-back Super Bowls for them.
Yeah, that's true too. And then you think that not only could the Patriots have won two more at least, you know, with Philly being close, because it was just one strip sack, but still, in that Philly one, it wasn't like the last play of the game kind of thing. But they could have lost easily, as we said, to Seattle. They could have lost easily to Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, the only Super Bowl they won clean of the early ones was that Philadelphia Super Bowl, though, again, it was a tight game, but it was, you know, they had to win. The other one.
Carolina.
And the Rams. I mean, wow. Yep. Talk about a game of inches. Al Pacino was right. Personally, I don't want to make a big deal about it, but my prop won again. Now, typically, I wouldn't even mention it, right? It's like, oh, it's Friday. I won on Thursday. Okay. Make sure it hits the bank account. But this one started slow. Our bet was under Gurley receiving yards and rushing yards. And I was watching the box score, and he had like, it was like at 45 or so, like after the first quarter. I did the simple math, and I said, I don't think we're pacing too well. Fez, how did it turn out? I mean, meaning watching the game, what did you see from Gurley?
Gurley was great in the first quarter, and then as you forecasted, RJ, sure looked like that game he played against Tampa Bay caught up to him. He seemed to have fresh legs in the first quarter when he ran for 31 yards, very little usage afterwards. And also, you said you did not expect he would get many reception yards.
The theory was usage rate was what – and he did have even at the beginning, the reception yards weren't good. But go ahead.
Yeah, so three catches. Get this. Three catches, 6 yards.
Well, that's better than his normal pace in the last 8 games. I mean, seriously, there's something obvious.
But 2 yards per catch. I think Brad might be able to do that.
I don't know.
Yeah, but he would be in the hospital after the first catch.
Yes.
Now, listen, usually I wouldn't make a big deal about it, but in this case.
Victory!
Last question. Does anyone disagree with me that Seattle was way overrated? First of all, let's give them credit. They won this game. But I think the Rams are overrated. And they've been downgraded a good bit. So I asked the same question I asked yesterday. What is Seattle's impressive win? We are now 6 games in?
5 games.
5 games in. What's the marquee win?
Probably last night.
So at home, on a short week, against a team that is trending down, you win on a last-second 30-some-yard field goal miss.
Yep.
That's your marquee.
Yes.
Well, I tell you this, that's something that I'm not impressed by. All right, here's what we're going to do. We went a little long there, so we're going to take our first break. But the first thing we're going to do when we come back, not second, but first, is Steve Fezzik is given the new Friday tradition, an early best bet, his very best game for the weekend in the NFL.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we are going to take a look at almost all of the big games in the NFL this upcoming weekend.
And the only game not is the games we've already looked at or on Monday, baby. And first up will be Fez's best bet early in the show. Thanks for joining us. Great day to do it. You can listen 200 FSR stations nationwide. FoxSportsRadio.com. iHeartRadio app, also SiriusXM, and on-demand podcasts. Just search RJ Bell. Right now, here in Vegas, on the Strip, 84 degrees, perfect weather. The neon is flowing.
That's right, RJ. We start with Fez's best bet, and we go all the way to London to do so. It is the Bears and the Raiders coming up at 1 Eastern time on Sunday. Right now, Chicago a 5-point favorite on pregame.com.
I tell you, for those that feel like Fezzik's a little snooty, man, you are so right. And on the podcast, the NFL pod, if you want to, at the end of it, forget all the picks and everything. It was a deep examination of his private school upbringing. Oh, my gosh. I got so many Team RJ hashtags on Twitter after that. Fez, you don't realize how your snootiness. But then just by coincidence, your best bet is in London. All right, go ahead.
Well, it's on my Bears, and I went to school in Chicago, and it's on the Bears -5. I bet the Bears -5, and I like them, and it's all about the travel advantage the Bears have in London. Now, the Bears just flew out last night to London, and Oakland has been there all week long.
Okay, so let's think about this. They flew out last night, so Thursday night, Bears. Oakland had literally a game in Indianapolis. They had a choice. They had three choices. I think they made the wrong one. Choice one was go back to Oakland, fly all the way back. Then what? A couple days later, fly all the way back to Indianapolis and keep on going. Another 6 or 7 hours, I guess, right? Or probably more, 7, 8. Okay, now, I've never been to London, Fez, but you know, I got a map. Now, I mean, it's an old map. A lot of the countries aren't really the case. Any, you know, they're gone now, but still. The fact of the matter is, their other option was stay somewhere around Indianapolis, have a camp, a la Fort Collins when Belichick did this before a Mexico City game, or Youngstown, the 49ers do sometimes. Instead, they went over. To me, that is hugely problematic because history tells us Jacksonville, who does this every year, they go later and later. Belichick's done it twice. He red-eyes in the night before the game. Gruden's not a super buttoned-up guy. I think this team's going to be tired, distracted. Who knows, potential police matters. I mean, you don't want to let a wild team loose on a city like, you know, every NFL team, you're going to be worried about that. I think you're so right about that factor.
Yeah, and the second factor is just the Trubisky factor. The team had lost a little faith in Trubisky.
Rightfully so,
a lot of faith. So Chase Daniel taking over, I think that's a big energy bump for the Bears as well.
Yeah, I think it's energy, but if you look at the statistics, and we've talked about this at length, and since we have, though, I've added a fourth source from 538. So looking at QBR now, Pro Football Focus, and 538's ELO method, and one more source, right now amongst all the accidental starters, ranked number one is Chase Daniel, 16th best quarterback. So to me, you can say small sample size, and it's right, 30 passes. But if you look at Trubisky, he's 36 out of 42 on this list.
Oh, wow.
So the odds are it's hard to do worse than that. Trubisky's done. And last thing, if you watch that game, you watched the replay, right? You had such a painful loss on it. I don't know if you did watch it.
I thought I deserved it to watch all my money get set on fire on the Minnesota Vikings.
So you like to punish yourself.
Yes.
There's a word for that. So here's what I'll say, though. It felt like the whole playbook was open to Chase, where with Trubisky, it really wasn't. What was your observation?
Yeah, I agree. And in fact, I think the Bears could have scored a lot more points had they had to. They had a comfortable 16-0 lead in the second half and then got conservative only in the second half.
It's a business of sadists and masochists, and you know which one you are.
Guys, the main theme from this week's show here on Straight Outta Vegas has been about those replacement quarterbacks. And much like Chase Daniel, we have two more at center stage. We've got Kyle Allen for the Panthers. We've got Gardner Minshew for the Jags. And right now, the Panthers are a 3.5-point favorite hosting the Jags this weekend.
It's almost like we planned this, Jonas. One into the other. Chase Daniel. I mean, this is like real radio.
Seamless.
Look out, world. On my list, we said Chase Daniel 16, 19, Kyle Allen, 20, the stash, Minshew. These are the, other than Daniel, who is a veteran, right? So let's put him in a slightly different category. Amongst these youngsters, these are the two best. So Fez, I've got numbers. You've got your little eye test. What's your little eye say about these quarterbacks? Because I think they disagreed with my numbers.
Yeah, I had Daniel Jones number one.
All right, and then who did you have?
The stash number two.
Oh, well, yeah.
Rudolph three, Kyle Allen four, and Bridgewater five.
Well, I agree with Bridgewater. Here's the thing you uncovered, and massive credit for this. Kyle Allen number one on this list amongst the accidental starters that are the youngsters. But these stats don't all take into account fumbles. Three fumbles the most recent game for Kyle Allen.
Yes.
And we thought, wow, does he have a history of fumbling? And what did we find out?
We found out he fumbled two times in the previous game. So five fumbles already this year.
Five fumbles in two games. Brady, it's been 5 or 6 years, I remember, since he's had more than five fumbles in a season, right?
Yeah, six, I believe, in 2014. He had to go all that way back, playing an entire season.
And I'll tell you this. We know that turnovers, nothing matters more in the NFL. Literally, nothing. if you're even fumbling once a game, you will not be in the league. By the way, Jared Goff, since the Kansas City game, remember that amazing shootout Monday night last year? He fumbled in that game, and he's fumbled in every game since, except the Super Bowl, the only game he didn't fumble in. So when Goff entered the league, he had the smallest hands for any number one pick quarterback ever. And oh, by the way, Kyle Allen, he came in with a hand span, I think they call it, of 9 3/4 inches. 10 is considered to be good in the NFL, so smallish.
9 3/8.
Oh, I said 3/4. I'm sorry, you're right. 3/8, so less than 9.5. So does it mean it's correlated? I don't want to bet that it's not.
Guys, we now move over to Cincinnati, where the winless Bengals host the winless Cardinals coming up on Sunday. Right now, Cincy, a 3-point favorite on pregame.com.
So, Fez, you love the Bengals. I mean, I remember you had a Ken Anderson jersey. I saw some pictures. And you said, I don't want to play with that. But couldn't you see Fez, like, they're trying to take the dolls away and they're trying to give them G.I. Joes? I mean, was there any of that? Be honest.
It wasn't that funny.
You've got some good stats on Arizona and their scoring propensity first, second half.
Yeah, Arizona's been terrible in the first half. They've been outscored by 46 points. And get this, RJ, in the second half, even though Arizona's been horrible all year long, they've actually outscored their opponents in the second half by 5 points.
So 40, how many?
46 outscored in the first half.
All right. So what's the rationale?
The rationale is that they play this quirky offense that's lightning speed, and it just doesn't work until the opposing defenses get tired, and then it does work.
I think that makes sense. So for anyone who in-game bets, remember that. And also, if you like to do derivative-type betting, you could say if you like Arizona, look to bet them in the second half. If you like Cincinnati, I don't know how many's out there, even though 200 stations, and you want to bet them, you want to look to do it in the first half.
The Vikings are on the road at the Giants, Minnesota, a 5-point favorite.
I tell you, this was Jonas's finest hour as a wise guy. Because, you know, I have people listening to Jonas, make sure he's properly promoting RJ Bell and such. And there was some brilliance on the weekend. I mean, truly, when it comes to maybe we aren't right about why Cousins struggles.
Yeah, I looked at it as more so people think that it's the best teams that he plays against, top tier teams. Then if you just look at all these moments where he struggles, it's usually on a big stage. And so my thought was, they did a report on him and how he's got this schedule and everything's a routine and it's got to be done in increments. He's got it like on an Excel spreadsheet. His entire day is mapped out. And I thought, well, maybe it's just the fact that he gets thrown off schedule. And so in these late nighttime games or primetime games, that's where he tends to struggle. And so in doing a little bit of research with Brady Quinn on the show on Sunday night, we found that in afternoon games or late games, Kirk Cousins for his career is 8-23. And I just don't think it's coincidental.
And I'll tell you this, what we have to do is remove, and I'm going to try to do this over the weekend, certainly for next week. Let's remove the primetime games out because we don't know what the cause is or what potentially is just a reality. Meaning if you play primetime games, by definition, they're not at 1 o'clock. And thus, is it the fact it's the bright lights of the TV or is it the different time? So if we look at the TV games, the non-big national games, and if his record's just as bad there, that is going to be very, very telling. Great job, Jonas.
And if you go even more specific on this, he's 1-12 in Monday and Thursday games.
Yeah, which would obviously be the nighttime one. So how he's doing in those other games, I think, is most telling. And here's the thing. We don't know the answer yet. If we did, everyone would know it. It's the process of finding out the answer that's fascinating. And as we go along the way, you can say, huh, I don't know if it's the bright lights or I don't know if it's the time change where his routine's off, but I know this game's at 1 o'clock and I know the Giants aren't all that good. So don't be afraid to bet the Vikings, I think, and I would lean that way.
Colt McCoy is the starter for the Redskins as they host the Patriots this Sunday. New England, a 15.5-point favorite.
I watch a lot of Belichick press conferences, I can't lie, on YouTube. And I haven't seen him feel this uncomfortable about talking about another team because he likes to play. He doesn't want to demean other professionals. And Washington's in big trouble. I heard Stephen A. today talking about it's not a matter of if you know, but when it comes to Jay Gruden. I think people agree with that. I haven't heard it to that degree yet, and now I'm hearing that. I think if Belichick has any choice, he does not run this game up. And I know he could still cover and not run it up. I think he has a real – and then, let's be honest, the Gruden family is a big NFL family. It's not that he's doing it because he's afraid to – make mad anyone. He just respects these NFL families, I think. So if anything, Brady's health in general, conservative offense, I think, not wanting to run it up, conservative, I envision a ton of running from the Patriots.
The Jets are at the Eagles coming up on Sunday. Luke Falk is the starting quarterback for New York. Philadelphia, 14-point favorite.
Okay, so what we saw was it's always interesting to see how the market moves as news breaks. The news broke. Mono continues.
Yeah.
Him and Peter Brady are actually in quarantine. No, not really. Because he actually came to practice, yeah. Right? That was the big thing. He drove up in a golf cart. How'd the line react when it became official, Brad Powers, that it was Falk in?
Yeah, so Philly was a 13-point favorite. Then when the news came official, Philly went up to a 14.5-point favorite through a key number of 14.
All right, so they were building into the line, the chance that Darnold would play. Fez, if you look at the total, it dropped even more.
Yeah, so 47, and it's down to 43.
So 4 points down. Yeah, Falk, not good.
The Saints are 3-point favorites hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I have a saying, every spread tells a story. This spread is telling me something I don't think very many of you believe. It's saying Tampa Bay is better than the Saints. Fez, what's the Saints' home field?
3.5.
Line in this game?
3.
What does that mean?
That means Tampa Bay is being valued by the market as being better by half a point.
I don't know if that's right, but I think that is amazing. And the more I think about it, that defense, I slept on Tampa the first couple weeks. That defense statistically for the Bucs is so much better.
The Texans are hosting the Falcons right now. Houston, a 4-point favorite on pregame.com.
Fezzy.
Yeah, Atlanta is just awful versus the AFC, teams they haven't seen in 4 years. How awful? Atlanta 0-13 against the spread, 1-12 straight up.
Okay, so the rationale is you don't see him often, and once every 4 years, you've got a game plan anew. What's your ability in a week to game plan effectively? Quinn, not good, it would seem. Give me the ATS one more time.
ATS is 0-13.
That's not good either.
The Titans are 3-point favorites hosting the Bills.
Fez, you got something on Mariota here.
Yeah, Mariota looked really healthy his last game. I just watched the entire game, and what's been the book on him? He's been underperforming. Well, a big part of it, he's been so banged up for years, and Mariota finally looks to be 100%.
And he's one of those quarterbacks where his ability to run and be mobile is a key part of Mariota's skill set. So when he is banged up, it hurts him when he's playing but banged up. So he's able to play, but he drops off more than most because his physical skills, his athleticism is so important.
The Chargers are 6.5-point favorites hosting the Broncos.
Fez, I know this is boring, and so we'll make this one short. This is so about the Chargers and injuries to me, but what do you think?
Yeah, the Chargers injury list grows every week. I won't bore everyone with the prior injuries, but Melvin Ingram out. He's their key guy that's out this week along with wide receiver cluster injuries.
And remember, if it's not a big name, the market often, if all you did was bet against the three teams with the most injuries in a week, that doesn't involve the big marquee names, you could do a lot worse. I think you'd probably slightly win most NFL seasons.
Packers at the Cowboys, Dallas, a 3.5-point favorite.
This is one of those one-question games. Can you answer this question? Is Dallas either A or B? A is, man, they're good. Look at Dak Prescott. In R.J. Bell's advanced metrics, he's number 2. Okay, that's true. And they went into New Orleans. Oh, that Bridgewater isn't a backup. He's almost a starter. Excusable loss. That's Camp A. Camp B is, who did they beat? Really? Giants with Eli, Washington, and Miami. Mm. And then they lost to a Saints team that got dominated by Seattle, even though the Saints won. It was like 250 extra yards. And Bridgewater, on those same R.J. Bell metrics, Bridgewater is 34 out of 42. If you believe A, you got to love the Cowboys. If you believe B, you got to love the Packers. Fast, from what I see, the market really, really, really likes Green Bay.
Yeah, money on Green Bay lines down from 4 to 3.5, even a couple threes popping up.
Lastly, to Sunday Night Football we go. The Chiefs are 11-point favorites hosting the Colts.
We'll keep this one short. Injuries again. Colts got beat bad by the Raiders. That can only be explained by some external force. And Fez, correct me if I'm wrong, and let's not get specific. They're just as banged up this week.
Yes, they are.
So this line seems high. Don't get sucked in, because I'm not saying the Colts are the wrong side, but make sure you know about the injuries. The world premiere of Colin Cowherd's pick number 6.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have best bets as we take a look ahead to a busy weekend in the NFL and college football. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Every Friday, we got the world premiere here. Now, this one is actually on Monday night's game. So we are playing Colin's pick here, but then my analysis, which I did with him on the podcast, we're going to wait till Monday to play. And if something changes, I'll change it. But no reason to bet early unless you have a real feeling about it. Let's listen in. This is his pick number 6 from Colin.
Let's go!
Now.
That's great football now!
It's Colin's.
Bonus pick only for RJ Bell.
Pick number 6.
Finally, bonus pick. I would take the Browns in 3.5 and 4, whatever the line is. San Francisco's a very young team. I think their wins have been a little overstated. They are better defensively, but a lot of turnovers. And I think Cleveland's defensive front, Nick Chubb's running game, I think they found a formula. I would take the points here.
Okay, now I won't hold you in suspense. I actually have an opinion on this game that's pretty strong, and I'm going to give a bonus parlay on my best bet. So when we come back, it's that best bet. Brad Powers with maybe the last how could it lose parlay ever. If he wins, we keep going. If he loses, the doghouse. Also, maybe a bonus best bet from Fez and 3 big college football games. Not any time to waste.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. It is time for our Loser Leaves Town match involving Brad Powers, and is no way it could possibly lose 4-team parlay in college football.
No way could it lose, and it hasn't won yet. Now listen, we did this on purpose.
I've been hanging and banging for years.
And what we know is that the money line parlays, people love them. Doesn't matter how big of a favorite you have, if you have enough of them, they get to about even money.
Yep.
So you look and you say, no way could so-and-so lose. So far, you're 0-3, correct?
Yes.
Last week, I said, take a break.
Yeah.
How many games did you pick total? 12?
Yeah, 12 games.
And how many have you won?
9.
So you've lost exactly one yes. in each of them.
Yes.
Guys, don't try this at home. If he loses, it's retired till next year. If he wins, we keep going. So this is a 4-teamer, and you're just playing the money line. Team number 1.
UAB.
Now they're 9.5-point favorites against Rice. Number 2.
SMU.
13-point favorites against Tulsa. Now remember, that's just showing you how big of a favorite. You're just betting them on the money line to win. So UAB, SMU, pick 3.
Miami, Florida.
Miami is a 14-point favorite against Virginia Tech. Number 4 or 4?
Memphis.
Okay. We're going to hear what the payoff is. Let's go over the 4 again. You'll tweet this out.
Yep.
I don't know if you want to. It's at Brad Powers 7. And here's the 4. UAB, SMU, Miami of Florida, Memphis. If those 4 all come in, what do you win if you bet 100?
$105.
So you went as close as you could to break even. Okay. So, and what's amazing is we did this the entire season last year, and Brad won, which was like running a marathon with 10-pound weights. Well, let's just say this. He didn't train as much for this marathon, apparently. 0 for 3.
Guys, the biggest games in college football we will get to now, and we start with one in the Big Ten. Michigan State is at Ohio State. The Buckeyes are a 20-point favorite in the horseshoe.
Yeah, for those that listened yesterday, Brad just backed down, like almost like he was going to fight a guy, and then he sees the guy get up and kick a brick and break it in half, and the guy just puts his hands up and starts walking backwards. You liked Michigan State.
Yeah, liked past tense, liked Michigan State. Not so much now. And
Not so much.
Not at all, because what I was looking at was, boy, Michigan State's got a top five legitimate defense. How is Ohio State going to get margin against Michigan State? What I forgot to look at is the other side of the ball. Ohio State, arguably one of the most improved defenses in the country, and that's a Michigan State offense that has scored zero touchdowns against Ohio State the last 2 years. Now they're playing the best Ohio State defense in the last 5 or 6 years.
All right, so the current line?
20, pass, Michigan State.
We still got our bet. Yes, I wouldn't let you out of it. What I'll say is this, and this is fascinating. Right now, you've got the Buckeyes as the third best team in the country.
I do, only behind Alabama and Clemson.
Upgraded more than any other Power 5 team.
Yep, that's right. 8.5 points.
It's a top 10 matchup in the SEC. Auburn is at Florida. Right now on pregame.com, the Tigers are a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, and I'm leaning with Florida here, and here's why. I think you're paying a premium with Auburn because Auburn's only one of four teams left in the country that's unbeaten against the spread. Auburn's 5-0.
So if you bet Auburn every time,
you're 5-0.
And they had that amazing cover to start the year.
Yeah, the first three covers were a combined 4 points, so that was very misleading that they're 5-0, RJ.
But, hey, if you get paid, that's all people think about.
Exactly.
And you're saying just that extra premium got you leaning to Florida.
Exactly.
Last one, we go to the Big Ten again. It is Iowa at Michigan. This is a noon Eastern time kickoff on Fox, and the Wolverines are a 4-point favorite.
So to me, it's all a fade against Iowa. I like Michigan and have bet Michigan. And check this out. We've been talking all year. Iowa's really good as a road favorite. Last 8 years, Iowa's covered 89% of the time as a road favorite. How does Iowa do? 89%. Oof. As a road dog, though, different story. They only cover Iowa 37% of the time. And here's the thought here. Iowa's very low variance. So when they're a favorite, they take care of business. They play defense. They don't turn it over. And they just, you know, beat the team they should. But when they have to play a team that's superior to them, they don't take a lot of chances. They're conservative. Therefore, they lose.
But isn't as a 3-point favorite, 3-4, that he's not really superior? That's home field?
That's true.
And if you think about Harbaugh,
he smells.
I mean, you always got to consider that.
RJ, what about your Pittsburgh Steelers, who are hosting the Baltimore Ravens this weekend? Right now, Baltimore, a 3.5-point favorite at Heinz Field.
Okay, this is my best bet, and this is the final NFL game, guys. The fastest hour in sports talk. I like the Steelers. Here's why. Brad Powers came up with an amazing stat in his little database. It's a big database. And all the time the Ravens have ever, whenever I start saying there's a good stat, Fez picks up his pencil. I wonder if he's attributing. So, knowing him, no. The Ravens have never been a 3.5-point favorite in Pittsburgh. Of all the times they've played, this is the biggest favor. Does this feel like that historic? Meaning this much of an outlier where it's justified? I don't know. Rudolph looked mighty good. We know that he didn't throw downfield a ton. We know it was the Bengals. But you know something? I'm not sure that the Bengals have a worse defense than the Ravens. Are you sure of that, Fez?
No, not with the
500
Ravens.
Yards the last two games. Not just one. The last two games. 1,000 yards they've given up. Lamar Jackson had a lot of tricks. I think the tricks are over. I think we saw that against the Browns. And now the freedom this has given Tomlin to not be tight. Tomlin's been a tight coach in different spots. He was not tight Monday night. Unleashing the Wildcat. Now the question is, what variation did they have ready for the Ravens? I think it all adds up to a close game. And oh, by the way, you know what history tells us? When Harbaugh and Tomlin face off, more than half the games have been decided by a field goal or less. Let me do the math. I'm getting 3.5. Give me the Steelers. By the way, quick bonus. Parlay them, if you like this, Steelers with the 49ers. I'll explain it on my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas.
Check out the podcast for multiple picks on this weekend's game at foxsportsradio.com. We're back on Monday right here, Fox Sports Radio, 6 p.m. Eastern time, and also on the iHeartRadio app.